of Lois Marshall as a soprano with a relatively light voice. And suddenly, in the polo, the first note was like a knock on your head by a hammer. She put the first note on an open chest, and it was like a gypsy crying, screaming. And then we heard the rage of woman in despair. And for me, it was a woman dancing in despair, just turning around, raging, screaming, not with a clear soprano voice, but with something like an animal in her voice. And when she finished, it was such a rapture of applause. I thought that the hall will be destroyed.
As far as the musical public is concerned, I've never experienced anything like that. In their enthusiasm, they're completely uninhibited, and they hold nothing back at all. It's something you have to actually experience. It's hard to describe it. They're so overwhelmingly enthusiastic that it's I don't know exactly how to describe it.
Quite an emotional experience.
It really was, yes, and. After the concerts were over, Weldon Kilburn and I would do sometimes as many as 8 and 9 encores, and the public would just keep on, you know, in the hall. They wouldn't go home and wouldn't go. And then they wait for you to leave the hall and walk along the street with you, you know, in the dead of winter and all this sort of thing. It's really a very heartwarming experience.
A Russian audience is quite different from the audiences in North America, in Canada, for instance.
Alexander Tumanov.
Russian audience, after the concert, does not leave. They just stay in the hall. And they have the energy to demand more and more and more, if they like it, of course. And in the case of Lois Marshall, they liked it very much. So she sang numerous encores, one after the other. I watched her face in the first concert, and it was obvious that she did not expect it. She was absolutely exalted by that, and she went on and on. She was very generous.
Schubert, кто Сильвия?
Thank you.
Franz Schubert's song, Who is Sylvia, came halfway through a flood of encores at that first Moscow concert. The audience couldn't get enough, and it seemed Lois Marshall wouldn't deny them. Weldon Kilburn tried vainly to rein her in. After all, there were many more concerts to follow on their Russian tour. Out in the audience, Alexander Tumanov witnessed Kilburn struggling to get her attention.
It was interesting to watch the communication between her and Weldon, because every time he was kind of putting the brake on her. This is enough. It was already six. It was already seven. We can stop. And she wanted to sing more and more. And the more she sang, the more she wanted to sing. So the atmosphere was a huge excitement. In the one of the encores, the Musetta Waltz from La Bohème by Puccini, she was in very good voice, and she sang Musetta with such a freedom, such a joy. It was really a woman who was relishing her life. And then she goes up to the top note. I believe that this is B natural on the top. And when she comes to it, she wanted to have this note like a fermata. And I presume that when they rehearsed it, when they did it in other circumstances, she was supposed just to pass this note and go down. But she wanted to sit on it. And Weldon wanted her to get off of this note. So we can hear in the accompaniment how he pushes the next chord to chase her out from this place.
Puccini, Waltz Musette из оперы Богема.
What can possibly explain such an overwhelming response to the Moscow debut of a Canadian soprano, Alexander Tumanov?
In 1958, it was just a few years after Stalin's death, the Iron Curtain was very much closed. And any kind of signal from behind the Iron Curtain was some kind of a freedom, some kind of something which we don't have. So every artist coming from the Western world brought something very, very special. And people were watching everything, the way they move, the way they speak, the way they behave, the relationship between themselves. For instance, for us, the relationship between Lois Marshall and Weldon Kilburn on stage was different than usually stiff and very formal communication between a singer and an accompanist. And probably this part of the individualistic society, so to speak, that I am an individual, that was very precious. I would say that philosophically, she opened for me a new world. She represented the inner freedom, which was absolutely overwhelming concept, because we all were captives within our country. And when we heard her or other Western musicians, we felt this inner freedom which they had, saying what they wanted, relating to whom they wanted, and this was a huge thing.
Puccini, Aria Manon is Opera Manon Lescaut.